Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're listening to Pastor Randy from Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please visit our website at hbcaz.org. So get ready, grab your Bible, open your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
Yes, Lord, it is our desire to hear from you. It is our desire, Lord, to know your will for our lives. It is our desire, Lord, to be pleasing in your sight. Lord, it is our desire, Lord, to know you more, better, more intimately each time that we open your word. And so, Lord, tonight, without exception, we just come humbly, thankfully, to want to glorify your name and to grow in your word. Lord, we love you, praise you, honor you in Jesus' name. And all God's children said,
yeah.
Awesome. And just bring it down just a little bit. It's on the verge. It's good, but it's on the verge of ringing. Thank you. Yeah. We don't want to ring it. All right, I got a couple announcements for you. First of all, this Thursday on the 24th is One Step. Is Gino here? Where's he at? He's right there. He has that every Thursday at 6 p.m. in the prayer room is One Step. Now, this is not just for drug addiction and alcohol. It can be for anything that has a hold of your life. It's a one step to freedom is really what it's about. And it's a great class, so you want to see Gino or just show up tomorrow at 6 p.m. on that side in that building over there. And his car will be parked out front. But that's every Thursday, so you can come and enjoy. It's awesome study. All right. Also, we have Access. That is young adults, 18 and up, college and career, that kind of thing. But really, they'll open up to anyone. If you want to go and you're young at heart, go. That's this Friday, the 25th, at Rogers House. Aaron and Mike Rogers. It's going to be at their house. So that's a great study, and I hear they have pretty good food and snacks, so there you go. That's a good reason to go. No, they have great Bible time and great fellowship. Also, hey, men's study is back. They're back in the saddle every Monday. Woohoo, man, you go, guys. Our men need it. No. No, they have an awesome Bible study every Monday night at 6 p.m., and they meet right in the fellowship hall. I believe the women's Monday and Tuesday doesn't start back in until August. Is that correct? Yes. So, you know, just prepare your chops for that one. But the men, they're back in the saddle. Yeah, there you go. Now, if you remember, we had our church print up some new HBC shirts with our vision on it. Well, they were misprinted with the wrong Bible verse. Horrible Bible verse. It could have been something fun and good. But it was a horrible verse. Well, listen, we have the replacement. Oh, this is it right here. Is this pink? Hey, real men can wear pink. And I ain't no real man. No, I'm just. So anyways, this shirt, if you have, here's what we're going to do for the next 2 weeks. You can bring in the misprint and exchange it for the exact same thing that you had. And we want to get rid of those bad ones. So if you can do that at the table, please, please, please hear me in this. Do not take a shirt without someone being there, because we have to make sure that everything is an equal exchange. The church took the hit on paying for the whole batch of shirts. So please do me a favor. Make sure when you go to exchange that there's someone at the table. Just don't do it on your own. That would be helpful to us to keep the count right. All right, there you go. I think that's it. Oh, one last thing. We have a talent show coming up. Now, there's like 10 or 11 people doing acts. There's a couple of people whose names aren't on there that I know are going to do some acts. If you want to do something, comedy, sing, dance, crochet, that's not very entertaining, but we'll watch you. Yeah, we can Harley ride a wheelie across the church. No. Yeah, I bet you could. Listen, you want to do it, you want to, you know, just display your talent that the Lord has given you. Now, here's the thing. Not everything on that night, by the way, it's also a fellowship feast. So that's going to be awesome. Food, and then some of us will help you get rid of that food. Ooh, no, I'm just teasing. I'm teasing. Listen, I had a sneak peek on some of the concepts. Pretty cool. I think we're going to have a very entertaining evening So keep that in mind. And if you have a talent, sign up. I'd love to see both pages full. That would be great. So anyways, keep that in mind. All right, if you would please, open your Bibles to Ezra chapter 4. And as you can see, I've entitled our message, Resistance. Let's pray one more time before we dive into Ezra 4. Father God, thank you that your word is so, so applicable, so useful, so true. It's life-giving, and it's encouraging and challenging to each one of us. And Lord, I know that this message is going to hit home for every person in here. So may we be all ears and ready to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, recap. Israel had been in bondage. They've been enslaved because of their idolatry, because of their failure to obey God. And they got away with it for many, many years. Then God takes them into captivity. And now God has released them from captivity. Now, a remnant of Israelites have now traveled 900 miles to go home. And when they get home, they find a pile of rubble. Listen, traveling 900 miles in those days was no easy task. That is hard work. Even now, you know, you tell someone, I'm going to, you know, drive cross country 900 miles. You're like, whoo. And that's in a comfortable car with AC, leather seats, or pleather seats. Or on a Harley, that's hard. You know, bugs in your teeth, it's beautiful. Love that smile. No, you know, so, but at this time, if they were blessed, they had a donkey to ride on or a horse to ride on, but you can't ride it the whole way. So this is a long, arduous journey, and they get home to a pile of rubble. Probably broke their heart seeing it. Now, we also remember that they had the full support of the king. And why would the king do this? Well, we looked at how he was in prophecy, and they showed him his name, and he was like, whoa, and then he believed in God. But besides that, as a king, he knows this: happy people, happy kingdom. So he's willing to support them. And now they are rebuilding the temple of God. They're doing what God has called them to do. And as they go to begin to do what God has told them to do, guess what? Daunting opposition, powerful resistance. And we're going to dive into that even more. How we always in our Christian walk will run into those times when we have resistance. Now, Jesus, if you have no opposition in the place you serve, you're serving in the wrong place. I love that. There's a book I read, and I don't remember if I got all the way through it. But it's a very popular book. I'm not going to tell you what book it was, because it might offend some of you. But I was reading this book, a Christian book, by a famous Christian author. And in the book, he said this, and I think this is when I stopped reading it, or I flung it, because there were a few things that were like, that's not good, that's not good. But when I read this, I was like, he said this. He said, if you're doing something and you run into opposition, stop doing it and do something else. Thank God Jesus didn't listen to that fool. Thank God Paul, Peter, the disciples didn't listen to that guy. Yet thousands, if not millions of people bought his book, go to his church, watch his stuff, because some of the stuff he says is good, but some of the stuff he says is grotesque. And so anyways, I'm not going to tell you. If you really want to know, come talk to me privately. Verse 1. When the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the descendants of the captivity were building the temple of the Lord in Israel, they came to Zerubbabel and the heads of the... Look what he said. Let us build with you, For we seek your God as you do. And we have sacrificed to him since the day of this guy, the king of Assyria. Esarhaddon, that guy. Who brought us here. Now, 70 years before this, the Israelites were taken enslaved. Now, if you remember, the northern tribe called Israel, they were taken first. Why? Because they were steeped in idolatry from the get-go. Every king they had, bad. The southern kingdom, Judah, they had good kings and bad kings, but they're at the end. It took them a while, but they're at the end. They offered to idols just like the northern kingdom did. Now, it's important to know this. The northern kingdom, where was their capital? Samaria. Hang that on your belt. What was the northern kingdom's capital? Samaria. Where was the southern kingdom's capital? Jerusalem. Who were the northern? Israel. Who was the southern? Judah. But they were all Jews. So keep that in mind. But look what it says here. The adversaries of Judah, the southern kingdom. Well, who was to the north? Where was the capital of the north? Samaria. This is the temptation. This is the temptation. The temptation to go back to what God brought you out of. In fact, the Bible says, as a man returns to his folly, is like a dog returning to his vomit. Okay, so here come the Samaritans, and they go, hey, we offered to your gods. We offered to your God. Yeah, they did, but not the way God prescribed. That was the problem. They would worship in the mountains. They would worship in the groves. But their worship also, yes, they'd sacrifice, but then they'd barbecue and have orgies and crazy stuff like that. Unto God, Jehovah God. That's the temptation. The temptation is when you and I sign up to follow God, what'll happen is something from your past will come to haunt you and draw you back. Like what? Well, an old friend that you used to party hardy with, an old girlfriend, old boyfriend, something, a job opportunity, doing something you know is not completely acceptable in God's eyes, but man, the pay is good. Always, that's what happens. But here's the thing, remember, southern kingdom succumbed. They eventually, Judah succumbed to that and began to worship idols. We learn that in 2 Kings. It says, and Judah began to worship idols just like Israel did. They did all the things that Israel did. And so here comes the Samaritans. Now, real quick, when I say Samaria, prayerfully, some of you remember the Samaritan woman, right? Do me a favor. Turn to John chapter 4, verse 19 through 23. This is Jesus in John chapter 4, verse 19 through 23. We have Jesus dealing with the Samaritan woman. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Look. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Yes. Why in Jerusalem? That's where the temple is. Why in Jerusalem? Because where the temple is where God prescribed to worship. But the Samaritan said, hey, you don't have to travel all that way. Just find a high place. Once again, there is that temptation by people on the outside of church. Hey, you don't have to go to church to be a believer. You know, here's something really bad. You know what a lot of people are doing now? Since COVID, they're going, well, you know, I've kind of gotten used to watching church on TV, watching it online. So, you know what? I'm just the type of person that watches online. You're a sinner and you have lost your way. COVID is done. Fauci lied. No, he didn't. Yes, he did. Even his email says, in his own emails, the masks really don't work. No, it says it on the box. I've been saying that from the beginning. It says on the box, we'll not protect you from COVID. But people are like, well, you know, there's still that danger. No, that you're in danger of not knowing Jesus. That's the danger. Yeah, but Pastor, you know what? Live in your fear. Live in your fear. Don't you believe that Jesus can heal you? If you're, listen, here's the thing. Here's the thing. When it's my time to go, I will go. When it's not my time to go, put a gun to my head, pull the trigger, it's going to backfire on you. You're going to be the one that dies. So she says this. She says this. The Jews say that Jerusalem is a place where one ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, woman, that's not disrespect. Woman, it's not that kind of woman. It's like, madam, believe me. The hour is coming when you will neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship, here you go, in spirit and in truth. In other words, we must worship him the way he says. But what Jesus is saying is, look, now that once I go to the cross, you're going to worship in your heart. That's going to be the temple of the Lord, is in your heart. And from your heart, you could be in your car, in the shower, you can be in your workshop, you can be worshiping all day long. That's the point. But here, that was a Samaritan woman. You see, what's going to happen is the Samaritans are going to infiltrate the Jews. And they will go back to that. That's what she's saying. Listen, you know, we Samaritans, we worship the same God, but we do it our way. We have our own ideas. And that runs rampant in America today, where people are worshiping God their way. They ignore, well, the word says this, yeah, I know, but I don't like that part. I like this part. It's like, what? But notice this. The adversaries of Judah. They came. Judah came. The Israelites come out of captivity 900 miles. Why? To do God's will. God has put a burning in their heart to go back and build the temple so that they can get close to God again. So they travel 900 miles hard to do the will of God. Yes, sir. Only to run into resistance. Doesn't that sound familiar? You start serving the Lord and resistance comes. One person said this, adversity is not simply a tool. It is God's most effective tool for the adversity of our spiritual lives, for the advancement of our spiritual lives. The circumstance and events that we see as setbacks are oftentimes the very thing that launches us into a period of intense spiritual growth. Oftentimes, brothers and sisters, the difficulties that come into our lives that hurt so bad, God is using to launch us closer to himself. They travel 900 to do God's will, and they run into it, and they're like, God, really? I know somebody said that. How do I know that? Really, Lord? Come all this way to run into trouble. Am I in your, did I hear you right? Maybe I didn't hear you right. You know, that happened to me, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about that in a minute. But I got here, and nothing but resistance left and right. Are you mad at me? Did I do something wrong? And God was like, no, I'm going to grow you. I want to grow. So what happens? What happens in your life, my life, most people's lives? If we don't have a strong conviction with God, when this opposition comes, when the resistance comes, when we don't get what we want, then we turn back to the old ways. Well, what difference does it make? God's really not in this anyways. I went through all this, and this is what God, how God says, thanks for my obedience. And people will fall back to all kinds of sins. If that's you, meet with Gino. He'll help you with that. But folks, understand, when you and I sign up to follow God, the attacks are going to come. The attacks are going to come. That's why in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 11, finally, my brethren and sisterin, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, here's the thing. You and I, we're not going to be attacked by the devil. He can only be in one place at one time. He is not God. But his minions do his biddings. Just as we follow Christ, they follow Satan. So whatever Satan does, they do to us. They know his game. They've been following him for thousands of years. But we have to put on the full armor. Why? Because as Christians, we are going to run into opposition. It's going to come in all kinds of forms. When you are the most excited for God's plan is when you are the most vulnerable. Do you realize that? There is always, as you sign up, yes, sir, I will serve you, Lord. You're signing up for God's army. And when you're in God's army, guess what comes to the army? A battle. And we need to fight the good fight. No, listen to me. Fight the good fight of. Come on, soldiers of. Yeah, baby. Are you okay? Let's pray for him. He spoke in tongues. No. I'm a Marine. I think that's a Marine. Yeah, it's a Marine. All right. Look. And look at the enemy. We read, it says their adversary. Look what they say. Here you go. They don't know. They don't know what we know. God didn't go, these are your adversaries. He didn't say that. We read that. We go, oh, adversaries. Look what they say. Let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do. We seek the same God. Hey, we go to the same church. Hey, I wear a Jesus t-shirt just like you, although this is not a Jesus t-shirt, but I wear a Jesus t-shirt like you. Hey, I listen to Christian music. I read a Bible verse once. Words are easy, but time will tell. We have the advantage. We read, it says, the adversaries of Judah. You know what Judah heard when these people came up? I'm sure this is what they heard. They heard, hey, we're here to help. We believe in God. Hey, we have good carpenters. We can even bring some of our wood, help to pay for this thing. Money, help you with time, manpower. We're here to help. No, you aren't. You're here to drag us back into sin. You're here to cause division and cause problems. And that's what, you've heard that saying, if you can't beat them, join them. You know, the enemy is ever trying to join the church. Not because he wants to help. He wants to hurt. There's always going to be resistance. Okay, look, we're moving now. Verse 3. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua, by the way, this is Joshua, same name. It's like calling someone, you know, Rob or Robert, you know, it's kind of like a thing. Joshua. But it's not the same Joshua that God said. By the way, remember what God said? It's not in my notes. Remember what God said to Joshua? Be of good courage. Why? Because you're going to end up having opposition. God says the same thing to us. Be of good courage. Why? Brothers and sisters, you're going to have opposition. It's going to happen. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the heads of the father's house of Israel said to them, look at this. You may do nothing with us to build the house of God, but we alone will build the house of the Lord of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, had commanded us. They give them two. Did you see the 2 points there? I love this. First, they give them a spiritual reason. Hey, you're not going to, you may do nothing to build the house of the Lord, house of our God. Why? God told us to do it. So it's like, there's a spiritual reason. You're not going to have, you worship on mountains. Go build a mountain somewhere. Do whatever you do up there, the nasty stuff you do. No. So spiritually, we were sanctioned by God. Then politically, he says this, we alone will build the Lord God of Israel, build to the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us. So one, we were ordained by God, first and foremost. Secondly, we're ordained by the king of Persia, who's right now the bigwig. He's financing us. He told us. He didn't say to have you help us. So spiritually, politically, they hit him with the double whammy. In case you're not a true believer and telling you that God said isn't enough, let me give it to you politically. In John chapter 2, verse 17, I love this. His disciples, remember that it is written, zeal for your house will consume us. That's exactly what is happening to the Israelites. They have this zeal for God's house. It's consuming them, and they don't want any help. This is what we've been called to do. I don't care how hard. I don't care how much rubble. I don't care. We're going to do this because God has called us. There's a burning. I love that. I love this. Someone said this. The vitality of a Christian arouses opposition because he is a standing rebuke to selfishness and sin of those around him. You know what? You and I, we arouse opposition when we stand upon God's word. People don't like that. It's conviction to them. Paul said this. You know what Paul said? Paul said that he had to daily debate in the marketplace. Heated arguments in the marketplace. Paul, oftentimes people get the wrong impression about Christianity. Well, we're to just be soft, not say nothing, just okay, love you, brother. No, Paul said, I debated in the marketplace daily, arguments, heated. But too many, man, I know pastors, I've known pastors in the past where people are like, we got problems, but the pastor's like, no, I just don't want to cause conflict. I'm like, what in the world? What in the world? Listen, to avoid controversy is to avoid Christ. Avoiding controversy may bring you momentary peace, but it is submissive and a carnal peace where truth is slayed. You're slaying the truth when you and I fail to stand up for what is right, even in the face of opposition. Jesus said this in John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that you may have peace in the world. Look, he says, I'm telling you this so you can have peace. And then he says this, in the world you will have tribulation. Okay, which is it, Jesus? Is it peace or is it tribulation? No. He says, I've told you this so that you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. E.M. Bounds, he wrote 5 volumes on prayer. And on his deathbed, he said he didn't pray enough. He said this, trouble and prayer are closely related. Trouble often drives men to God in prayer, while prayer is but the voice of men in trouble. I love that. But did you know? Here you go. I'm gonna let you in on a counseling secret. Did you know when you and I pray, that doesn't cause the devil to flee? You see, all these people, I rebuke you, Jesus. And he's like, whatever. I rebuke you, Satan. Correction, strike that, reverse, edit. people are like, I rebuke you, Satan. No, when you pray, you are laying down a gauntlet. When you and I pray, we're firing the first shot at the enemy. We're saying, we are ready for war. You're like, are you serious? Yes. People come to me, they're like having turmoil, and they're like, oh, I'm praying all day. I'm like, great. How's your time in the Word? Well, not really. That's why you're failing. You have no weapon. You have no weapon. In John 4, verse 1 through 11, Jesus just got baptized. God said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. As soon as he said that, all the devils, all the demons, and Satan go, we got to take him down. Then Jesus is carried away by the Holy Spirit. And where is he carried away to? 40 days of fasting and prayer. 40 days. I can't go 40 minutes without food. Anyone here, I'm just curious, anyone here fast for 40 days? I didn't think so. And wait. What was he doing while he's fasting? Praying. And that doesn't mean he prayed for 15 minutes and then went fishing or, no. He went 40 days and 40 nights fasting and praying the whole way. You would think if prayer is what chases Satan away, that he would be clean and clear of Satan. But guess who shows up after 40 days? Satan. And what we don't see Jesus doing, dropping to his knees, oh, I rebuke you, Satan. No. How did he get Satan to flee? Using the word of God. Using the weapon. Why? Because we are in a battle. So often, too many people fail because all they do is pray and they forget to wield the sword. Matthew chapter 4, verse 11, the last verse. Listen to what it said. Listen, people, you need to hear this. So Jesus just did battle with Satan using the one weapon, not prayer. Prayer lays down the gauntlet. Prayer is our shield. But he pulls out the sword. And the last verse, Matthew 4, verse 11, about this encounter, not the last verse in chapter 4, just this encounter, says, then the devil left him. And behold, the angels came and ministered to him. Why did the angels come? You know why, folks? When you and I are in a battle, when the battle is finally over, we're weak, we're distraught, and you think God doesn't care about you, I promise you, you stand up for God. You stand up against the devil. You use the sword. The angels will come and minister to your heart. God will bring you encouragement in some way that you never expected, and it'll be supernatural, and it will blow your mind. The problem is, too often Christians don't resist the resistance. When they're offered help, and they spurn the help. No, you're not going to help us. Basically, the people offered a hand. The Samaritans offered a hand of friendship. And they went, psh, no, thank you. Why? You're not walking with our God. You may claim his name. But your actions don't line up. Listen. Their intent, the Samaritans' intent, is not for the betterment and for the furtherment of the worship of God. The intent of the Samaritans is to taint. Verse 4. Then the people of the land tried to discourage the people of Judah. They troubled them in building. Troubled them. Some of your translations may say they made them afraid to build. They threatened them physically. Listen, when they couldn't go, hey, we'll help you. No, we don't want your help. Oh, yeah? We'll beat you up. We'll hurt you. If you have kids, I don't remember which one of my kids it was, but I know one of my kids was afraid of tunnels. You know, you drive and you go through a dark tunnel. And you know, for a little kid, when they're real little, that can be spooky. It goes dark, You're in a car, you're moving, the sound changes, everything changes. People start honking their horns in there. You're like, oh, what's that? For a little kid, that's wild, right? But listen, what do you do when you're a little kid? Well, you trust that dad is going to get you through that tunnel. And you sit there. You don't jump out of the car. Yet in Christianity, when people feel like they're in a dark tunnel, like things just got spooky and weird and everything, people often jump off. Instead of going, nope, dad's at the wheel. Jesus, take the wheel. Come on, Carrie Underwood. Jesus takes the wheel. You got to sit back and go, God, I trust you. You don't jump ship. Yet so many Christians jump ship because it got hard. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. It's dark. It's spooky. It's scary. I don't see a way out, but God has the wheel. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, not part of your heart, not with your knowledge, not with your reasoning or rationale, but with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Where? Right out of that tunnel and into the light eventually. It may take a little while depending on how long the tunnel is. But the longer the tunnel is, the more you're going to trust your dad the next time you're in a tunnel. You see how that works? So they tried manipulation of the circumstance. Hey, we'll try and help. No. Hey, you better knock it off. You better not build or we'll attack you. Well, here's the thing. If they got into a war with the Samaritans after being sanctioned by King Cyrus, King Cyrus would be upset that they're at war and that could lose all. So listen, the Jews don't want to stir that water. So they don't. But look what they do. So the Samaritans hire counselors against them to frustrate their purposes. All the days of King Cyrus of Persia, even until Darius, the king of Persia. Counselors. They hired counselors. What does that mean? They hired people that were influential. They hired people that were smooth talkers. They hired a bunch of used car salesmen. No. They hired some telemarketers. They hired people that knew how to be persuasive. Hey, who said you could do this? Do you realize what you know you're causing problems? You know you could end up in war? You know you're going to upset just all these negative things that can happen. Who said you can build? Wait. Who do you think you are to build this and not allow anyone to help you? You know, I ran into that exact, when I first got here, I went to some other pastors, several other pastors in the area. Some of them were receptive to me. I served at three different churches very happily and served under them. But there was a couple of pastors who said, what are you doing here? Why are you here? There's already enough churches in this valley. I said, well, so why are you here? I said, dude, the same reason you're here. You think I want to come to the desert? I could have said, you know what? I think God's calling me to Hawaii. I think they need a good Bible teaching church in Hawaii. Or at least a big city, because I'm a city boy. God said, no, I want you to go where you don't know anyone. It's a small town, so less chance of you having a large church and getting your pride all puffed up. Where you're really going to have to work hard and sweat hard. I don't want to. So I'm telling them, you think I chose here? God called me here. But why are you here? It's like, oh my gosh. Well, I ran into that. I ran into that kind of discouragement. However, I didn't give in. Came close a couple of times, but I didn't. But listen, over 20 years. Listen, between King Cyrus and King Darius is over 20 years. So over 20 years of discouragement, they give in. They're going to give in right here. We're going to see how they give in. They stop building. You know, I see that happening in America. I see America giving up. It breaks my heart. Listen, we're not losing our freedoms. We're giving our freedoms away. I'll give you an example. Third grader, Lydia Booth in Mississippi. She wore a mask to school, just like the school is requiring, which is so stupid. Kids don't need masks. But she wore a mask to school. The mask said, "Jesus loves me." She got in trouble. She's obeying the rules. "I've got a mask on. I don't need a mask. I got a mask." But it says, while at the same school, the other kids are wearing BLM, "Listen while I'm speaking, Kamala Harris," satanic stuff, sexual innuendo stuff, "but Jesus loves me" is not accepted in the school. She's fighting that, thank God. I pray she wins. How about this? A Texas-based Christian group was refused tax-exempt status by the IRS. Do you want to hear this is exact quote from the IRS document? Here it is. "The Bible teachings are typically affiliated with the Republican parties and candidates. This disqualifies you for tax exemption." No. IRS, we're not teaching what the Republican Party believes. The Republican Party, for the most part, believes the Bible. That's the problem. Listen, they're in court right now. If they fail, we're next. Okay. How about this? You know about the pastor in Canada, arrested right in the street on his knees, dragged. For what? For holding church. John MacArthur, they took away his parking lot because he was holding church during COVID. So wrong. And all the time, and I'm not going to get too, but yeah, I am. Fauci lied. Fauci is in, I've got the video. In 2018 is saying that there is a coronavirus pandemic that's coming in the not too distant future, and it's going to be devastating. All while he was sending money to the Wuhan lab. And his emails are scathingly, go read his emails. You read it for yourself and call me a liar. But here we are, all a part of God's plan. But we need to stand. We need to take a stand like that little girl, Lydia Booth, who's fighting it and saying, "There's nothing wrong with me wearing Jesus Loves Me. If they can wear BLM and they can wear Kamala Harris, I'm speaking here, and all the other garbage, there's nothing wrong." Why? Good is evil and evil is good. Listen, there is resistance coming to the church. We need to stand against it. Now, interesting, let me get back to this and off my soapbox. Right here in verse 6, we're going to take a quick leap forward. Actually, we are going to now jump forward. Why? I'll explain to you here in a minute. But we're going to jump forward to the time of Nehemiah. And you'll see the proof here. You know, like in movies, sometimes they flash forward, sometimes they flash back. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing here. There's a purpose. Verse 6. "In the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, they wrote an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. In the days of Alexerxes also." So now Alexerxes was after Ahasuerus. So we went forward to Ahasuerus. Now his reign is done. And now it's all the way to Artaxerxes. Later on, he's called Xerxes, but same guy. Okay. And then Bishlam and Mithridath and Tabal and the rest of their companions wrote to Artaxerxes, the king of Persia, and the letter was written in Aramaic script and translated into the Aramaic language. Rehum, the commander of Shimshai, the scribe wrote a letter against Jerusalem to Artaxerxes in this fashion. Now, this letter doesn't happen until Nehemiah. I already explained that to you, but watch. From Rehum, the commander of Shimshai, the scribe, and the rest of the companions. Now, you can read the names of the rest of the companions. Have fun with that. I'm just going to jump down to verse 10. And the rest of the nation, who were great, and the noble Osnapper, took captive. I'm sorry. Took captive and settled the cities of Samaria and the remainder beyond the river and so forth. Now, this term remainder beyond the river, this actually is better translated the province beyond the river. That's what Judah became known as all during this time. They just called them the province beyond the river. This is a copy of the letter that they sent him. To King Artaxerxes from your servant, the men of the region beyond the river and so forth, let it be known to the king that the Jews who came up from you have come to us at Jerusalem, are building the rebellious and evil city. Dun, dun, dun. What city are they talking about? They're talking about God's house. It's evil and rebellious. And are finishing the walls and preparing the foundation. Now, isn't that interesting? Listen, the Persian Empire, they're evil. Babylon, evil. Disgusting things. But they look at the Jews who want to just worship God and offer not harm anybody, just worship God. They're evil. Does that sound familiar? More and more, if you're a Christian, if you say Jesus loves you, if you say, you know, I'm pro-life, if you say that I'm pro-man and woman in marriage, then all of a sudden you're evil. Are building the rebellious and evil city and are finishing the walls and preparing the foundation. Now, finishing the walls. Remember, Ezra and Zerubbabel build the temple. Nehemiah builds the walls. And now he's saying they are finishing the walls of the city. So this is in the time of Nehemiah towards the end. Okay? Verse 13. Let it be known to the king that if the city is built and the walls completed, they will not pay taxes, tribute, or custom, and the king's treasury will diminish. Well, first of all lies. You don't know that. They haven't made that decree. Isn't that what people do? Hey, you know what? If you do that, so-and-so is going to do this and that and the other thing. Really? Did they tell you? No, that's just what I figure. And how is the king's treasury going to diminish? He's not just relying on the Jews to support him. He's got ample places. So it's just lies. You know, people will embellish. That's why words, hear me in this. Words are important. The words you use construct an image, a visual image. We take in words, we see a picture in our head. You cannot just throw words out. And if you do it around me, I will catch you. The king's treasury will diminish. Now, because we received support from the palace, it is not proper for us to see the king's dishonored. Therefore, we have sent and informed the king. Listen, since you support us, we don't want to lose your support, so trust us. We wouldn't lie to you. We don't want to see we don't want to see the hand that feeds us shrivel up. We're just looking out for your best interest because your best interest is our best interest. Ooh. Isn't that the way the sneaky people do it? I'm really just trying to help you. No, you ain't. No, you ain't. You're looking out for yourself. Receive support from the palace. It's not proper for us to see the king dishonored. Therefore, we have sent and informed the king that search may be made in the book of the records of your fathers. And you will find in the book of the records and know that the city is rebellious and harmful to the king's providence. Now, what they are talking about is there were times when the Israelites were paying tribute, and we saw that as we were in 1st and 2nd Kings, that the king would go, you know what, we just changed. We were a vassal nation. Now we change kings. They change kings. Maybe at this time we could pull away and stop being under the bully. You know, they're just pulling away from a bully is what they were doing. They weren't saying, no, we're going to rebel. No, they were like, you're mean to us. You know, we don't really owe you anything. And that they have incited, look. They had incited sedition within the city in former times, for which cause this city was destroyed. Listen, the city was not destroyed because they caused sedition against the Babylonian king or against the Assyrian king to the north. The reason why they were demolished was because they were in sedition and rebellion to the living God. Because if they had not been in rebellion, they would have defeated their foes. Because you cannot come against the will of God and win ever. So, yes, they were rebellious. Yes, there was sedition, but not against you ungodly kings. They were in rebellion, the Jews were, of their living God, their loving God, and they slapped his hand, and he brought judgment on them. So they're kind of right, but the wrong king. Verse 16. We inform the king that the city is rebuilt and its walls are complete. So now it's actually the end. Where Nehemiah is done with the walls. The result will be that you will have no dominion beyond the river. Oh, you're losing power, king. You're not as tough as we thought you were. You're weak. Now, why? Why do we have this? I hope you're asking why. That's what I do. Why did the Holy Spirit take us from this particular time, move us forward, and then move us forward again? And then we're going to go back. Why did the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit is teaching you and I that opposition never stops. If you want to jump forward in your life, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, guess what you're going to have? Opposition, resistance from what? Anything, everywhere. You're in a battle, especially if you're a Christian, especially if you decide to walk the way God wants you to walk. You're going to have opposition. No, it's not fun. But it's important. Look what Paul says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 through 13. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So he says, we have a treasure in our earthen vessels. Oh, doesn't that sound cozy? Watch this. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not us. Okay, what is that? Well, we were hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We were perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carried about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. I got to stop here. Look. Paul was beaten. And when I say beaten, they whipped him like they whipped Jesus. With the whip, with the bone and the metal. They did that 3 times. Just when you think the scars are healing, let's open those back up. He was, here you go. He was bitten by a poisonous snake. Yay! He was stoned to death. Because they walked away. They thought they had killed him all the way. He looked dead. They know what a dead body looks like. They know how hard and how many times you have to hit with rocks to know that someone's dead. They left him for dead. He was dead, and God brought him back up, and he went back in. He gets thrown in chains. And he says this, but you know what? We're still serving the Lord. Here's what we got. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ died. It's in my body. How do you know? Well, look at me. I'm willing to die to what I want. I'll take the beating. I'll do whatever God says because Jesus died and I'm a new creature. So therefore, I don't live for Randy anymore. Look. Carrying in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in my body. How is the life of Jesus? Because when they go, look at what that guy is enduring, and he still stays faithful to God. That must be that Jesus is alive and really changed him. Yeah, he did. Watch this. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake. What? We who live are always delivered over to death. That's, we just, as Christians, we're just dying left and right to bring glory to God. What a different Christianity there is in America. The music, I don't like the music there. No, I'm not going to go to church today. Man, at this time, people wish they would walk across 20 miles in the heat to go to service and honor God. People were dying. He says, we're dying left and right. Why? For Jesus' sake. That the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us. Death is working in us. But life is in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore we speak. What he's saying there is our life, when we go through difficulty and we say, I don't like what I'm going through. This is not fun, but I'm trusting the Lord. People go, you really do believe. But when we go, oh, this is horrible. I give up. I'm done with God. Then people go, yeah, I thought so. I didn't think it was real anyway. Do you see how that works? So Paul's like, yeah, bring it on. He's saying, bring it on. Bring more tribulation and pain so that people can see that Jesus is real. Wow. Wow. Talk about using resistance to bring glory to God. Verse 17. And the king sent an answer to Rehum, the commander, and to Shimshai, the scribe, and to the rest of their companions who dwell in Samaria, and to the remainder beyond the river, the providence beyond the river, peace and so forth. The letter which you sent to us has been clearly read before me, and I gave command, and a search has been made, and it was found that this city in former times had revolt against the king and rebelled, and sedition has been fostered in it. There has also been, look, mighty kings over Jerusalem. Yeah, David, Solomon, they didn't take anything. They went out and conquered. Well, mainly David did. Solomon had peace, but everyone respected him because David had set that Solomon's kingdom was a kingdom of power, and you didn't take him down, you would be defeated. Listen, power puts fear. You know what? Power brings peace. Power brings weakness, brings bullies. It does. And so at the time of David and Solomon, nobody messed with Israel because they realized. So they made peace with them. And in Solomon's time, everyone was at peace and he was blessing other nations. They were given. It was awesome. Why? Because there was a reign of power. See, get that out of your head, that what the news media is trying to tell us, that America needs to, you know, just kind of whimper away and be all soft. No, we need to be strong, and that'll bring peace. Weakness brings war. Be careful. The mighty kings over Jerusalem, who have ruled over all the region beyond the river, and tax and tributes and customs were paid to them. Now, they were paid to Israel. So it's like, hey, king, you know how you're receiving tribute? When they come into power, they're going to start getting the tribute that you want. They're going to get your money. They're going to put you out of business, bro. That's what the king is thinking because of what they placed and what he found in the records. It's like he's starting to think like they are. They planted that seed. Now, give the command to make these men cease, that the city may not be built until the command is given by me. If I didn't say do it, they better not do it. I'm the king. I want power. Blah, blah, blah. You get the idea. Verse 22. Take heed now that you do not fail to do this. Why should damage increase to the hurt of the king? You're right, guys. I don't want to see damage come to my kingdom. Now, when the copy of the King Artaxerxes' letter was written before Rehum and Shimshai, the scribe, and their companions got tongue-tied, sorry. They went up in haste to Jerusalem against the Jews. Look. and by force of arms made them cease. What's missing? Well, I'll tell you what's missing. What's missing here is the Jews going, God, should we fight against this evil regime? Would you give us victory if we go to battle? They just cease. They surrender. They don't do anything. It's okay. Didn't God tell them to go build? Didn't God tell them to stand? Didn't God tell me to come and start a church in HBC here? Didn't God say to keep the doors open on Sunday and Wednesday? Well, that's what we did, except for 2 weeks during COVID. The rest of the time, we've been open. Why? Because I will listen to God before I listen to men. Now, if I didn't hear from God, then I should shut the doors. If they go, hey, COVID, a new COVID, flying monkeys everywhere, I don't know, shut your doors. I like what Benjamin Franklin, here, listen to me. Benjamin Franklin said this, rebellion against tyrants is obedience to God. Why? God's not a tyrant. Listen, conflict, hear me in this. Conflict is inevitable. Combat is optional. You go, Pastor, you're talking about combat? No, I'm talking about what does God want us to do? Whimper and say, no, I know God told me to do this, but I better surrender. I better just shut the church down if they ask me to next time. Oh, we can't have a 501(c). Oh, well, then we're going to close the church. You think I'll do that? No, I will not. Listen, one person said this. With God, anything that stands against you will always be inferior to what resides within you. I love that. The test of Christian faith, here's the test. You want to know if you have real faith, YouTubers, Facebookers, if you didn't shut off already? Hey. Do you stand for the word of God no matter what? Or do you cower? In the face of opposition, are you willing to stand without compromise? God's word says, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, which is a manner of some, especially as the day draws near. Wow. Verse 24. Now we're back to the present. we went to the future. We just took a time machine back. Verse 24. Thus, the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, ceased. And it was discontinued until the second year of the reign of Darius, the king of Persia. So they stopped building for about over 20 years. They stopped building. Over 20 years. Even though God told them to. Why? Why did they stop? Fear, not faith. Faith says, I don't like it, I'm uncomfortable, but I'm going to stand. I'm going to waver because what is in me is greater than what's outside of me. Let me read one last quote from Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers. Here you go. If we cannot believe God when circumstances seem to be against us, we do not believe in Him at all. How do you respond when resistance that will come in all different shapes and forms, in all different ways, how do you respond? Do you trust God? Do you doubt God? Do you believe God? Let's stand against resistance. Let's push back. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time in your word. We thank you that your word is alive. We thank you that your word is a challenge. It's hard, God. Your word is hard, but it's like death so that we may live. It's like the death of Christ inside of us so that we may bring the life of Christ to those who are needing to hear and see a life lived out in obedience Father God, thank you that even as we look at something that seems so simple as building, rebuilding, what does that have to do with the Christian walk? And yet, Lord, it has everything to do with what is going on in our lives. God, may we respond properly to resistance. May we stand in truth. May we not waver. And may we be prepared, because the battle belongs to the Lord. And we are more than conquerors who stand upon the Lord. Father, we love you. Lord Jesus, we adore you. Holy Spirit, we need you. And we ask these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand and worship.